Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White Sox!
Television play-by-play for the Chicago Cubs for 16 seasons. Now he's heading to the South Side to do radio for the White Sox. He's Len Casper. Len, thanks for joining us here at WGN. Glad to have you on the radio.
Great to talk some baseball with a foot and a half of snow on the ground.
We're ready for it. All right, I'm going to get started with not asking you why. I'll start with a quote that I think is awesome. You said, "I'm not getting any younger. I'm not the new kid on the block, and I don't know where radio is going to be in 80 years, and I won't be around to know what that is. I can just tell you that radio and baseball will live together until the day I'm no longer around, and I want to be a part of that." I think that is cool.
I said that. That sounded way more eloquent than something I would come up with. No, I think, look, whatever we're calling it, as time goes on, the audio experience still resonates, and in some ways may be bouncing back. My eyes get tired by about noon after being on my laptop for a couple of hours every day, and I do think there's something to be said for resting your eyes and just letting the theater of the mind take over. And as I said, I do think baseball fits with that audio experience, always has and always will. And it's the one sport that, for me, is probably a little better on the radio than it is on television. And most other sports, it's the opposite. And I cannot wait to get going this year and to fulfill a dream that I had when I was 12 years old.
You have so much more opportunity to paint a picture when you're on the radio, right?
For sure. And on television, the what is pretty apparent, and there's a lot of time to do the why and the how, and to talk about things you see and analyze it and set up the analyst. Radio's much more about the what and where the ball is, what the score is, what the ballpark looks like, what it sounds like. I really want to utilize, especially when fans are allowed back in the ballpark, the sounds of the stadium and the peanut vendors and the umpire calling ball one, strike one, the pop of the mitt, the crack of the bat. All of those things are really important on a radio broadcast.
I want to hear you call a Sox game right now. I'm ready to go. Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, me too. Let's hope we start close to on time.
We're going to get to that in just a little bit. A big influence for you was Ernie Harwell, who called Tigers games forever on the radio. And he's kind of why you did what you did, right?
No question. I think the other thing about baseball is that it's an everyday occurrence, and it never ceases to amaze me just how powerful that is. And I've been doing it for so long, but I never forgot what it felt like to be on the other end of that speaker and to listen to Ernie every day growing up as a young baseball fan. He felt like he was part of our family. He was from Atlanta, Georgia. But he, you know, had that southern drawl that he never lost. But if you'd asked me when I was 9 or 10 years old, where's Ernie Harwell from? I would have said, well, he's a Michigander, of course. And when I have people come up to me and say that they feel like I'm part of their family, it means a lot. And I think baseball, again, is very conducive to that. It's, you know, 3 to 4 hours out of every day that you're literally, your voice or your face, in the case of television, is in people's living rooms. So that's how I grew up falling in love with the sport. And my hope is that a few people have fallen in love with it over the years watching Cubs games. And now that I'm doing radio for the White Sox, that there'll be a new generation of young fans who will grow up and learn to love the team and the sport from hearing my voice and Darren Jackson's voice every night on the radio.
Very cool. You started with the Cubs in 2005. until last season, of course. You replaced Chip Carey, who was Harry's grandson. What was that like?
It was wild. I knew going in that it would take a while to get people probably on my side. There hadn't been many main TV broadcasters in the history of the franchise, really. Jack Brickhouse, Harry Carey, Chip Carey, and then Len Casper. And so, you know, I took that responsibility very seriously, and I specifically chose the path of trying to be as solid as I could be, maybe didn't show my fun side quite as much early on, but I thought it was better to ease in and let that other stuff kind of come as time went on. And I think that was the smart play. I took some criticism early, maybe, for not having a big personality, but that was somewhat by design. I would rather have people say, well, he knows what he's talking about, but, you know, he's not a lot of fun. As time went on, I think I let my hair down a little bit and really got in a nice groove with Bob Brenly and then later Jim Deshays. I don't know if it was the right decision. It just felt the natural thing for me to do. And look, that first year or so, I decided not to shelter myself or shield myself from criticism. I thought, you know, if I'm going to listen to the good, I probably should hear the bad too. And it wasn't over the top or anything, but I think it was just people getting used to a new voice and making sure that I was one of them.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's a fiercely loyal city, as you know, and market, and we are Chicagoans now for the rest of our lives. The great thing about this move is that we can still live in the same house, and you can't you kind of pick up spiritually, I guess, and move like I did, but also still physically stay in the same place. That's a pretty rare thing to be able to do.
Yeah, it totally is, and that's a cool thing. You mentioned partners. How important is your partner when you are on TV, and how important is it going to be when you're on the radio?
It's critical. It is a partnership. Every time someone compliments my partner, I take it as a compliment for me. And one enormous job that I always keep in mind is to try to give my partner or partners as much space as I possibly can to let them shine, to put them in the best situation possible, to make them comfortable, sometimes to make them uncomfortable, though, in fun ways, and to find the things that push their buttons and make them laugh. And the first thing I told Darren Jackson when we talked on the phone was, I can't wait for that moment when you're on this roll and you have this pithy analysis and I just totally derail the whole thing by doing the one thing that makes you laugh and you can't help but start laughing, because that's when you know somebody really well, and I want him to be able to do that with me, and I never want to forget the idea that this is supposed to be fun. And I think if you show your human side more often than not, people are going to like it and want to hear more of it.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. You've done national broadcasts as well. How are those different from following a team day to day?
It's a lot different, and it's a fun challenge. I really enjoy, and I hope to get an opportunity to do a few more of those. It's more big picture stuff. You really, when you're doing a local team every day, it's a lot about the little picture and very specific things that happen that day. The national broadcast, you know, when Anthony Rizzo comes to the plate, you're talking more about his career, about the year he's had, about his place on the team, that sort of thing. And you have to remind yourself, if you're doing, you know, in my case, in the previous few years, a Cubs broadcast, but for Fox, and moving forward, if it's a White Sox broadcast on Fox, that you have to do the same thing for the other team and to try to keep it down the middle as best you can. And I enjoy those challenges. It is a little bit different. And every play kind of just becomes exciting, whether it happens for the home team or the road team. And for me, it's really more about working with people I normally don't work with, and kind of being a little uncomfortable in a new situation is good for the soul, and I think it keeps you honest as a broadcaster and as a person.
Sounds good. Absolutely. I got about 30 seconds left before we take a quick break for news here. I'm reminded of what Eddie Olczyk said about that, doing, you know, Hawks games all the time and then doing a national broadcast. He said something to the effect of you really can't use like nicknames that you use kind of every day, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. And every once in a while you might hear Chicago instead of Cubs or White Sox, which you never would hear on a local broadcast.
Exactly. Right. Good point. Very good point. We're with Len Casper, new radio voice of the Chicago White Sox. We're going to talk more about the next season, if anything has happened about that, and some moves that the Sox made over the past year, the off season. That and much more with Len Casper. That's after this update. Oh, I can't wait to hear that on the South Side. You doing the introductions. Oh. 8:35, Phil Minicky for John Records, Landecker here at 720 WGN, joined by Len Casper, new radio voice of the Chicago White Sox. Len, thank you again for joining us.
Great to be with you tonight, Phil. Thanks.
So, now, I have to ask you the Theo Epstein thing. Did you see this coming? Did you see him leaving the Cubs?
Well, I knew, you know, a couple of years ago, it felt like the 10-year rule that he had always talked about would definitely apply, and that 2021, at the very latest, would have been his last season. You'd have to ask him, but I would have to think last year and the challenges of the pandemic might have pushed things forward just a little bit for him. Obviously, a lot of changes on the north side, and a big transition now coming after another early exit in October. But, I think to answer your question, I wasn't surprised big picture that the Theo era ended. Maybe a little surprised that it ended a year early. But you also have to remember, you know, that Jed's his best friend. And I think knowing that your best friend's going to take over at some point, in some cases, and Theo's been doing this for the last two decades, I think, hey, Jed, you've done this for, you know, 9 years. You came here to leave San Diego where you were running things. Maybe now's a good time for you to take over.
Right. For those who may not know, I think it's public knowledge. He's going to be working with Major League Baseball, right, in the commissioner's office for now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a temporary post, maybe for the next year or so. It's badly needed. I think Theo has acknowledged that while the brand of baseball we've seen over the last 20 years generally has been good for winning, it hasn't necessarily been aesthetically pleasing. We have a lot more home runs. We have a lot more strikeouts. We have way more walks. We have a lot more foul balls. That's the one thing that you don't often hear, but it's true. And at-bats tend to linger. Fewer singles than ever before. We just have less action. And I think the idea is to kind of move things along a little bit. And to go back to the Houston Astros and the Red Sox and the cheating scandals, the sign stealing.
Yeah,
I don't think most fans, and I would put myself really in this group, care too much about the signals and the talking into the glove and the step off the mound and kind of do the circle thing with your hands saying, give me the signs again, and the batter stepping out and the third base coach coming down and whispering something in his ear. I don't think those things become particularly interesting. All they do is waste time. I think most fans want the pitcher to get the ball and throw it, and the batter to get in the box and swing the bat. And if we can get a little bit back to that, I think this sport will be better off in the long run.
Couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. Hear, hear. All right, let's talk about the new baseball season. It's been proposed by Major League Baseball, 154-game season with full pay to the MLBPA. Spring training would begin March 22nd, pushed back from February 15th. Opening day would be moved back to April 28th from April 1st. Is this going to happen, or what's the deal, do you think?
It's a great question. The default play right now would be start on time, which would mean most teams reporting for spring training within the next 2 weeks. There's a lot to unpack. I think the plan that MLB has laid out sounds pretty reasonable, and it feels like it's something that would make a lot of sense, just giving ourselves 4 extra weeks to get through this really rough patch during the pandemic. But there are a lot of other things kind of packed in there between the union and the owners. There's a CBA that will expire after the season, and I think there's a lot of talk about a potential work stoppage, which hopefully won't happen next year. The owners really want an expanded postseason once again, and they've tied the universal DH to that. I think some players are fighting the idea of expanded postseason a little bit because financially, while they get a little bit of the piece of the pie, one of their concerns is, you know, if you have 14 or 16 teams make it instead of 10, theoretically you don't have to spend a lot more money to get a playoff spot, and they want to make sure that there's still a lot of incentive to go out and try to improve your club. So I think that's going to be the big snag here over the next few weeks. But let's be honest, the clock is ticking. So I would be surprised if by this time next week we don't have a pretty firm idea of when the season will start.
Sounds good. Let's hope so. You mentioned the universal DH. What's your stance on that?
Well, going from the NL to the AL, most of the games I watch will have the DH, so I don't quite have the skin in the game that I used to. But I have long said that while I enjoy the National League style of play, I do think at some point with all the extra interleague play we have that you've got to have the rules be the same in both leagues. Look, we used to have American League and National League umpires. We used to have an American League and National League president. The leagues were pretty separated. Now everything is under the Major League Baseball kind of umbrella. So I do think that we have to pick a lane. There have been some hybrid DH ideas that have been brought up, but I think probably, whether it's this year or next year, the DH will be here throughout both leagues, probably till the end of time. I think it's inevitable.
I think it's more exciting baseball, right? Do you want to see a pitcher bat? Do you really want to see a pitcher bat?
The only pitchers I want to see bat are the handful of starters in the National League who are really good at it. Madison Bumgarner, Zach Greinke, guys like that, Jake Arrieta, they stand out. But most of them can't hit. And I agree that, you know, having another automatic out in your lineup probably doesn't help the enjoyment of the game.
Right, right. Sox made a lot of off-season moves. What's your favorite?
Wow. I love the question because there's not an obvious answer, but I'm going to go with Liam Hendricks, the closer, yeah, for a couple of reasons. You know, your bullpen becomes really important, particularly in a stretch drive, and hopefully the White Sox are in the postseason again. But aside from that, he just seems like a really interesting character and has had a fascinating career, designated for assignment on 4 different occasions, has kind of remade himself, and I look forward to getting to know him and hopefully not over a Zoom call and 6 feet apart with masks on.
We've come to kind of hate him on the South side because he was with the Rays for a while. He was with Minnesota. We saw him a lot, and he's the kind of the guy that you gets under your skin, but when he's one of you, it's okay, right?
Yeah, kind of like Adam Eaton.
Very good.
AJ Pierzynski comes to mind too.
Right, right. And exactly. we got two Adams coming back, Adam Engel and Adam Eaton, and I think I got to ask you about Tony La Russa. What's your take on that?
It's going to be totally fascinating. I've talked to Tony, and he is completely excited about this challenge. 9 years in retirement, he'll be the second active Hall of Fame manager. I trust his ability with the bullpen. You know, the one thing you hear about Tony La Russa, and I don't care if it's a 46-year-old Tony or a 76-year-old Tony, is that he has managed the game probably three or four times before the first pitch is thrown. So the one thing I feel pretty confident about is that once the game begins, you're going to have a tough time out-strategizing him. And I think he knows how good this team is. And, you know, he's not young, so I think he looks at it that he's going to try to win a World Series here in the next couple of years. And then maybe call it a day.
I would love for you to make that call on the radio. That's what I'm looking forward to.
You and me both.
Len Casper, the new radio voice of the Chicago White Sox. Len, thank you for taking the time to join us here at WGN. We really appreciate it. All the best to you and the Sox on the South Side for baseball whenever it starts.
Yeah, my pleasure.